Max, it's time to podcast once again. How you feeling, buddy?
I am good.
You are good, buddy.
Yes.
I'm talking kinda silly.
Yes.
Well, I guess it's time to podcast now.
Yes.
All right. You want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Yes.
All right, I will. My first movie is Into the Spider-Verse from 2018. Your IMDb minutes are 1 hour 57 minutes. Your genres animation, action, and adventure. This was directed by Bob Persichetti and Peter Ramsey, starring Shameik Moore, Jake Johnson, and Haley Steinfeld. Max, are you okay?
What did you say, Johnson? That voice, I lost it.
I'm glad you lost it, because I can't do that voice that
long. I can't do that voice that long.
What you did, Johnson.
Because
I'm 2 years old.
Johnson!
I was already trying really hard not to
Johnson.
Laugh, and then he said Johnson.
Johnson.
I was done. I'm done.
Johnson?
Johnson.
Johnson. Johnson. Johnson and Johnson. Johnson?
Oh, my gosh.
John Johnson.
I give you credit for doing that voice for that long.
I could have kept going, but I was laughing, because I was looking at you, trying to break you.
I was trying not to. I was doing pretty good. My eyes closed with my hand, and the same hand was holding my jaw up.
Man, we never get to it that quickly either. I guess this joke helped everybody. We're getting to it, people.
Good work.
Yeah, no, Into the Spider-Verse, 2018 movie. Very highly praised.
Oh, it's so good.
So let's see what I think. Your summary. Teen Miles Morales becomes Spider-Man of his reality, crossing his path with five counterparts from other dimensions.
Wow.
To stop a threat
for all reality.
Yeah, Giant Refrigerator Man.
Giant Refrigerator Man. So good.
Yeah.
Liev Schreiber.
Nice.
So freaking good in everything.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
No question.
Ever. Ever Ray Donovan. Ever.
That's what I heard.
So good. Although I didn't keep up with it. I heard it got a little weird. So, my bullet points. Gorgeous animation.
Oh, my God.
I love the Zipitone effect they use on the background. It's not constant, but when it's got the little dots, that's your Zipitone.
Yeah.
Just like a comic book. Yep. Oh, that made me so happy.
Yep.
It's a good mix of villains between all the different realities.
Yep.
Comedy is used well at the right times, as is the drama.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so well written that Nicolas Cage is funny in this movie.
Nicolas Cage is great, because Nicolas Cage is like, you know what? I'm just Nicolas Cage. Let's have fun with this one.
It's good. Yeah, it's real good.
He was the Spider-Man noir, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
I like Spider-Man. I've always enjoyed Spider-Man. I never got into Miles, ever.
Okay.
It never happened. I didn't read it. I didn't care. I don't like or hate Miles, right?
Right.
This movie made me like it.
Yep.
This movie did such a good job of bringing Spider-Man, and especially Miles Morales, who you don't have a back history of in media like this,
mm-hmm.
just the comics, really, into living rooms everywhere. Like, this is what I wish I had as a kid.
Yep.
This movie is perfect for introducing you to so many characters. And it start like, I work in a comic book store. The comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. That one.
That one.
That's the one. Pay me, Al.
I think he does, because you work there.
Oh, that's right. Good job, Al. basically, I've gotten a lot of questions like, why was the Green Goblin like a monster? I'm like, oh, that's the ultimate Green Goblin. That happened. And like, things like that. So,
sure.
So I enjoyed that it started conversations with people old and new to comics.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun movie. There's very few movies where I have a ton of fun watching them anymore.
This movie,
I think it's rare.
This movie made me laugh. This movie legitimately made me cry. This movie just was heartwarming. It hit every note that you want a movie like this to hit. It's so good.
And it had real world consequences. It had death and drama.
Oh, yeah. Has the Prowler in it?
The Prowler? Who doesn't love the Prowler?
Super underrated.
Very underrated. But I mean, with that rogues gallery, it's hard for him not to sink towards the middle.
That's true.
I really love the down on his luck Peter Parker.
Yep.
So good. Spider Dad. If you ever see Todd Knock, he did a cosplay of this. He is a comic artist, actually, who works for Marvel. He looks just like that version of Peter Parker. So he would cosplay at a cons he was at.
You showed me pictures. It is
spot on. It's amazing how I was like, did they base it off of him?
That's what it looks like.
It's amazing. It's so good. So if you ever see him, and he's a very polite man, I've gotten to speak with him briefly, just be like, yeah, can we do a picture of you as the spider thing? He'll probably do it.
Yeah.
He's got that costume underneath.
I bet he does.
He's got full three-piece suit on. He'll rip it off. He'll have that underneath. And then if you ask him politely enough, probably slip him a fiver, he'll rip that off and just washboard abs.
Maybe. Or just the dad bod.
You know what? Dad bod would be fine, but I'm pretty sure Todd Knock's packing.
He probably is. He's ripped.
We'll tag him in this and see what he says.
Yeah.
He'll be like, please don't ever talk to me ever again.
Yeah. Why are you talking about my body?
Why are you talking about my body?
Yeah.
I just draw. Sometimes I do YouTube videos that are very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He's like, this is weird. I don't know how to feel. This is like plugging me very well and also making me very uncomfortable.
Yep.
Well, now I have to tag him. Hi, Todd.
Hi.
But yeah, this movie's really good. Like, oh my God, I don't even know. Like, I don't want to just gush about it for 20 minutes, but...
Is it the best Stan cameo?
Maybe.
It's so good. That's where I cried, was the Stan cameo. Because
It is the last one, I believe, right?
It's the... It was the
second to last?
Yeah, because he did the Endgame.
Endgame was after.
Yeah.
But Endgame was funny. It wasn't emotional.
Correct.
This was more emotional.
This was, and the fact that, like, you know, I mean, obviously they recorded a long time before.
Was he already dead when that came out?
Yeah. I saw it like a week or two after he passed. I was done. I can't do this right now.
I couldn't remember if he had died or if he was just sick and everybody was like sad for him.
No, it was right after he passed. That's when I saw it and I was just like, fuck. When he hands him the costume and he's like, you know, anybody, like, it doesn't always fit everybody, but you know, you can make it work. And it's just like, I am going to cry like a child right now.
A lot of people did at that.
Yep.
And I don't blame him. I welled up. I watched it in my home.
Yeah.
You know, and I watched it with my wife. She also loved this movie. I should have wife scores.
That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to do that.
I just want her to eventually be convinced to listen to all these. She'd be like, yeah, I'd grab a snake. Like all the weird discussions we've had that involve her. Hi, dear.
It'd be pretty good.
You're not listening. IMDb. What do you think IMDb gave a relatively beloved movie?
Oh, my God. Like a 5.5.
They're going to do you proud. They gave it an 8.4.
Okay.
That's really good for them.
That is very good.
371 critics rated it on Rotten Tomatoes. You want to guess them?
I'm hoping for a little higher than the IMDb score. I'll go with a 90%.
They're going to make you super happy.
Okay.
97%.
Good.
Yes. Audience score, 18,000 people. What do you think the audience felt?
91%.
93%.
All right.
I like that it's pretty universal across the board, that it's a really fun, good movie.
Yeah.
You can enjoy it. There's something for everybody, I feel. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Good call. It's exactly where I would put it.
Yep, absolutely.
It's near perfect. It's the animation, like you said, is groundbreaking.
It's really good stuff.
There's nothing about this movie that's not nearly perfect.
Oh, and I love that they show the first appearance of the actual issue when they introduce a character. Yes. That was a nice touch. I'd forgotten to mention that.
It's so good. It's so good. Across the board, so good.
One of my favorite things on this podcast is when you go, it's so good. I love it.
That's how you know I really like it.
Yeah. Go ahead. What you got?
I got a movie that is not so good.
We got a balance here.
It's from 1997. It is called Event Horizon.
Oh, Event Horizon.
So I watched this in June. It is 1 hour and 37 minutes. It is a science fiction horror movie.
Sure is.
It is directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, the least of the Andersons.
Anderson.
Definitely lesser than Paul Thomas Anderson, who is fucking phenomenal, and Wes Anderson, who is not my cup of tea, but I still think is a better artist than Paul W.S. Anderson, who you may all be familiar with from the million Resident Evil movies that he casts his wife in.
I mean, I would.
I mean, she's great. She's not like, it's you know, him and Rob Zombie, I will give infinite shtick for just casting their wives in lead roles.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
This movie's got Sam Neill in it. It's got Lawrence Fishburne in it, Jolie Richardson. The cast is pretty amazing, no doubt.
Doubt's in it?
No, she's not. Well, they're not.
Oh.
Gwen Stefani is not singularly no doubt, but you know.
There's three other people in there. There's a drummer with a bad mohawk. Get it right.
Great ska band, no doubt.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Remember when they played ska?
I do.
I like that you shook your head and you're like, oh, wait, I have to say something.
No, I like No Doubt. I like No Doubt quite a bit.
I saw No Doubt. They were good.
The summary of this film is about an investigative team are sent to the ship Event Horizon that vanished years previously. And along with the creator of Event Horizon, played by Sam Neill, the crew begins to investigate the ship. And it quickly becomes evident that there are horrors on board the ship and they begin to slowly manifest. So I saw this movie a long time ago and picked it up because it was super cheap.
Right.
And I was like, I want to watch this again because I remember the parts of it. Like, I remember some fucking crazy shit in this movie. And there is about 10 minutes of really crazy shit in this movie.
There definitely is.
And the cool shit in this movie is way fucking cool. The rest of this movie is way not fucking good. Despite the fact the cast of this movie is staggeringly good.
Yeah.
It's like a haunted house movie in space, basically.
Yes.
And it's like the cool shit is basically like crazy sci-fi Hellraiser stuff. And it's like, what? This is insane. Sam Neill's great. And just nobody really gets to do enough. It's just a lot of filler, not even good like tension building stuff or character building stuff, just a lot of fluff. We're not dropping ideas about the Event Horizon. Sure. It's just there's not enough in there. There's no substance to the slowness.
I remember it kind of being like, oh, they're entering a new room. What's going to happen? Like, it felt like that.
Yes.
Like, it's like, oh, we're going to go over here. It's like, well, what are you going to do?
Right.
Oh, we're going to encounter this. Like, all right, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about on this one.
Yeah, it's just that they don't quite work. It is very much a movie of set pieces, and it just doesn't really land a lot of the time, but when it's cool, it's way fucking cool.
I agree.
So if you're into, like, if you want to see some cool shit and you don't mind sitting through an hour and 37 minutes to get there.
Whoa, that time.
Yeah.
That comes up a lot. Wow.
It's going to keep coming up.
It's the best. It is the best time.
So if you can sit through that long for about 10 minutes of that, it's cool. But I mean, like, it's not god awful either when it's bad, because Lawrence Fishburne's in it, Sam Neill's in it, and these like are all great actors.
Yeah, they do a good job.
The scenery really well. But they're not written super deep character wise. It's just kind of blah.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
IMDb score, which surprised me, 6.7 out of 10 on this movie. Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 74 critics gave it a whopping 27%.
Wow, that surprises me.
But the audience, Saviors of the Universe, coming in with 61% for this movie.
Sure.
I land more towards the critics, but still kind of in the middle at a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd have to rewatch it. I can't remember. I mean, I've watched it in the last 10 years, but I don't remember it well enough to chime in.
Right.
I'm probably near you, maybe a little higher, because I do think when it hits, it hits.
Oh, it goes hard.
There are times where I'm like, is this weird movie doing this great thing?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, back to mediocrity. Got it.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fighting game, and you pick the character that's super slow, but when they hit, they do like half a health bar of damage. So when it hits, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah, Zangief.
Yep. But it misses constantly.
Correct.
Yep.
Well, I guess I'll take us away from horrors in space, and I'll keep us in the world of animation.
Oh, please.
I'm gonna do it with a little Fox cartoon called Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Summer Vacation.
God damn it, I love this.
Yeah, you love this?
Oh, yes.
Well, I hope I rated it accordingly.
Good.
Well, you are a Maximilian, right?
I am.
This was in 1992. If you aren't familiar with Tiny Toons, if you're a little younger and you're not familiar, go watch it. I know everybody says Animaniacs. This is the precursor. You wouldn't have Animaniacs without this.
I think Tiny Toons is stronger than Animaniacs.
In many ways it is. Animaniacs was edgier.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And things spawned out of that, too. But this was also the people who were working on Batman, the animated series, the Superman cartoon, Freakazoid. A lot of these people followed throughout all of this animation.
Yep.
And I love animation, and I love this group of people.
Yep.
So I watched this in, I don't know, June? Who cares? It's an hour 19 minutes. Genre is anime. I mean, I guess when we watch it, it's going to be weird because we're just going to like start lapping ourselves here, aren't
Pretty
we?
Pretty soon, yeah.
Animation adventure comedy directed by Rich Ahrens and Ken Boyer, starring Charlie Adler, Tress McNeil, and Joe Alasky. Term time ends at Acme University, and the Tiny Toon characters look forward to a summer filled with fun. And this is one of those reviews where I said, F it, I'm not writing anymore.
Yep.
Because they literally tell you the plot of everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Because this is the story of many of the characters and how they spend their summer vacation, just like the title tells you.
Ding.
This summary will tell you what each one is doing, and it makes it sound episodic, which this is not.
No.
This goes back and forth between what everybody's doing, and in the context of they have 3 months of summer vacation to accomplish whatever they're going to accomplish, it makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So I hated this summary, making it sound episodic, because if this was a regular episode, sure, that'd be fine, but this is trying to be a movie, so it is not fine.
Totally agree.
This is a good use of episodic ideas threaded together with a common theme to make a solid movie.
Yep.
Paul Dini is among great writers on this project. If you don't know Paul Dini, if you love Batman the Animated Series and you don't know Paul Dini, please do your research. He is the reason it was great. Paul Dini also worked on things like He-Man. There's a lot. Straczynski worked a lot on He-Man, and I think he worked a little on things for Fox as well. But
Paul Dini created Harley Quinn. You fucking slobs.
Him and Bruce Timm. They were the guys.
Yep.
And there are some adult jokes sprinkled in. They're hidden where, you know, rewatching it now, I'm like, oh, that's a Deliverance joke.
Yeah, that happens.
Surprise.
Yeah, there's banjo playing possums, right?
Banjo playing possums.
Yeah.
Very, very, they're on like a riverboat going down the river.
Yep.
There's a chainsaw maniac, so referencing horror stuff that kids wouldn't have seen yet.
That's right.
Just really crazy stuff. Stuff for the adults who are watching with their kids. And now me being an adult, going back.
An adult and a kid.
Adult and a kid. A big old kid, me, I am. Sentence, good, I do.
That's right.
I really like this. This is a lot of fun to go back to. I remember really liking this when I was younger. I believe they would often air it as episodes,
yes.
Which is funny because it doesn't really
no.
flow as good as an episode
nope.
in this case, because it would have been, what, like 3 episodes probably with the commercials?
Mm-hmm.
But you do get all your characters. Tiny Toons, it's just a fun idea. It's basically the older Looney Tunes characters teaching them how to be the next generation of zany characters in animation.
Great.
It's super silly and it works on so many levels. And I think if you're a youngin' especially and you did not check out Tiny Toons, you're like, I remember that was baby Looney Tunes. No, that's different.
Yep.
Just go check out Tiny Toons. I think you'll really appreciate where they took an old idea and reinvented the wheel.
Oh, yes.
So IMDb, who loves nothing, gave this an 8.0.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. Rotten Tomatoes, this is where we come in. That no critic watched it.
Okay.
No critic has reviewed it.
That's a shame.
The audience, nearly 700 reviewers, 89%.
Okay, now we're talking.
This is where I let you down.
Okay.
I gave it a 7.
I think that's fair. I'd probably put it somewhere a 7.5 or an 8. Like, it's good. And mm-hmm. it's a well-told story. All the stuff's funny. It all, like you said, all the intercutting actually works here. Unlike
right.
my Christmas episode with the Christmas horror story, it doesn't quite work as well. Here, they stitched it together really well.
So on the rewatch, because I think in my head, I'm like, this is an 8. Let's get it in here. This will be fun to add to the reviews on Tapes and Scales. But rewatching, especially like the Plucky stuff, because Plucky goes to Happy World Land.
Yes, it's like basically Vacation, right? It's the plot.
Right. It's very much Vacation, exactly. Yeah. National Lampoon's Vacation. And while it does that correctly, it really is just too much.
Yep.
It really is. And then it takes a tonal shift because that's where your Chainsaw Mania comes in, not to spoil everything.
Yeah, they pick up a hitchhiker, right?
Pick up a hitchhiker. Yeah. He is amazing.
Yeah.
I forget who voiced him, but all the lines by the hitchhiker are stupendous. But it's a weird thing, and you're just flipping around, and what, Fifi the skunk, she's all over the place. Like, she has a story that gets a lot of time, but really doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, in that regard, I had to give it a 7.
I think that's fair.
All right, then.
All right, so I'm going to continue on my horror train because, you know.
That old horror train, won't stop.
I'm on the podcast, so that's going to happen.
Try and stop him. I won't, so what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Bitch.
Yeah, I mean, you could try to find me a genre of movies I like more because you're going to fail. I watched 2000...
Use bitches. Sorry, go ahead.
I watched 2014's Starry Eyes. I watched it in June. It is 1 hour and 38 minutes, and it is a horror film. It's directed by Kevin Kloesch and Dennis Windmeyer? I don't know. Sorry, guys. It stars Alexandra Esso, Noah Sagan, and Pat Healy. It is about a young bitch that uncovers the ominous origin of Hollywood, the Hollywood elite, and she enters into a deadly agreement in exchange for fame and fortune.
Oh,
it doesn't
yeah.
actually call her a bitch. I was just riffing on what you were doing there.
Bitch. She might be. She might be.
She kind of is. At points.
All right.
So this is very much like a David Cronenberg movie mixed with like a
Crash.
Not quite Crash, but it's mixed with like a Rosemary's Baby and or a Shining kind of thing. So you're really getting into deep character study, but you're getting into like body horror and really weird stuff. So Alex Esso plays a character who's trying, she's a waitress at this like really sleazy place called Tater Tots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Pat Healy's her boss, but it's supposed to kind of be like a family restaurant. And one of the things I really like about it is Pat Healy's character, great character actor. If you're not familiar with Pat Healy, check him out. He does this really good job of, you think he's gonna be like this sleazy perv dude, and he's not. He's just a dude who's like, I'm managing this restaurant, this is my living, and I need to do that to survive. And he plays it like totally on the level.
Nice.
And so you see this girl start to, she's an actress, and so she's doing the waiting thing as a part-time gig, and she's trying to land this big role, and she gets really pissed off at a point at herself because she gives kind of a lame audition, and she starts like, she has this habit of like, she'll like pull her hair to the point where her hair comes out. And the woman who was doing casting sees her like do this in the bathroom, and then she makes her do another audition where she does that. And it starts to get really weird, and it starts to get uncomfortable, and she's asked to do some like really disgusting sexual things at a different audition.
Oh boy.
At a guy's house, and things get real weird, and there's like culty elements to it, and then things really start to get Cronenberg-y, and like,
so this is like real Hollywood.
This is very so real, but has a supernatural element to it, and like her portrayal of the character is like wonderful. She was made it really hard to watch, really brutal. The movie was really unsettling, and it's a good, if you like body horror, any of the things I described, it's really worth your time. It's a really unsettling look at how the Hollywood system works, and unfortunately, especially at certain eras and in certain places during, you know, different points, it's no joke, and it's scary for the realness and scary for the how horrible it is and what it does to the character, and it's good stuff. Powerful.
Powerful, I like that.
Powerful horror.
Power.
IMDb gives it a 6 out of 10.
All right.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 73%. Okay. 22 of them. Audience score, 55%.
So I'm going to guess you're closer to the Rotten Tomatoes.
I am 8.5 out of 10 on this one. It is so good. It is so raw and harsh. It's really an excellent horror movie. And Alex Esso is great. The directors and writers are great. It's well told. It's well paced. No problems there. It just keeps moving. It just gets worse and worse.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those.
Oh, yeah. It's real good.
Interesting.
Feeling real scummy when you come out of that one.
Starry eyes.